Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So many of you might have had the fantastic opportunity to watch the sporting weekend that we had in South Africa. Now, I don't follow football too much, but because my dad supports Pirates, I do. And unfortunately, we didn't have such a phenomenal end to the weekend. But guess who did? The broadcasters themselves, those who actually bring us the visuals, who provide the sponsorship, who have the licensing agreements. Ultimately, the more people who are watching a football game or eyes on the TV screen essentially does help broadcasters to gain income and earn heightened revenue. But have you ever sat back to think and consider, how does this work? We join on the line by Cash and Sport Research Director, Nqobile Ndlovu, to give us some insight. Nqobile, welcome to the show. Oh, Nqobile, you might be on mute. Okay, we've got you now. There we go. Welcome to the show.
I'm well, thanks, Google. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. Excited to speak to you on this one because I guess it's either an easy concept to grasp, but we also know that there can be some complexities that are involved in terms of the business of broadcasting and how the revenue structures work, because there's so many options that actually feed into these businesses making money. But first things first, maybe let's just start off by getting a clear understanding of the different and evolving types of business models that exist in the broadcasting arena.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah, I know, because streaming comes top of mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, then we'll start with streaming, right, which is what the new age version that a lot of people know, which is what you would find on your Netflix, your Showmax is a streaming platform. Essentially, anything that uses an internet connection and doesn't require for you to be sitting in front of a TV, and you can access that content either on a mobile device or something to that effect, that's free. And then there's, video on demand, which essentially a Netflix is essentially like a VOD platform, where essentially what you would do is you'd get a bouquet or a provider who would have a stream of content, and you can watch it whenever you want. So that's video on demand. And then there's advertising video on demand, which is that platform, a video on demand platform, essentially you pay a subscription for that. Advertising, ad supported video on demand is exactly as it sounds, supported by advertising. So the advertising is consistent throughout the content, but the subscriber doesn't have to pay for that content. They watch it because it's ad supported. There's also something called FAST, ad supported television. So again, it's free, it's supported by advertising, it's television. There's quite a few, and there's multiple, types, and they all work. Essentially, they all work in a similar way in that they want you to watch the content. The difference is when you watch the content, whether you watch it on demand, whenever you pull it, whether it's live, or, streaming. But ultimately, the aim is for you to watch content.
Got you. The aim is to watch content. You've got a platform on which to distribute this content. And as you say, it's about that number of eyeballs on the screen to actually consume this particular content. I'm also keen to understand, because we're really, edgy, using the recent football match as a rock for this particular conversation. Do we find that when it comes to sporting or entertainment-based activity, I'm just thinking about the Super Bowl in the U.S., the soccer game we had this past weekend, and even the likes of Tyler and Beyonce with their musical performances, is this really finding that there's a heightened level of sponsorship that is geared towards entertainment and sports media?
I'm glad you asked about the Super Bowl. On average, around 100 million Americans tune in towards the Super Bowl. 100 million.
That's a third of their population.
The,
one in three, yeah.
That's a third of the population, right? But within the game itself, an NFL broadcast lasts roughly about 23 minutes, and it includes, it lasts roughly 3 hours and 23 minutes. Higher broadcast lasts roughly 3 hours and 23 minutes. It includes 50 minutes of commercial breaks, right? So for advertisers, They even broke it down. I was looking at some research earlier that broke down about 25% on average of an NFL broadcast is commercials alone. So essentially about 50 minutes of that 3 hours and 23 minutes is just ads. And the excitement is insane. And it costs a huge amount of money. If I'm not mistaken, it costs over for an NFL ad, this last one. I think it cost over $7 million for a 30-second ad. So the costs associated with it are also astronomical.
And maybe that's also something that we need to look at, right? The costing model as to how people actually determine the values that they create. And I know typically we talk about it in the industry as a rate card, and some media houses have different rate cards that vary in terms of range. But how is that value determined to say, well, you know, platform X, you'll have to pay $10 versus platform Y, where you'll pay $20?
Right. It depends on a number of factors. The first is, the ad rates have changed and they've gone up generally. I wouldn't say it's linked to inflation, but they've gone up by a certain percentage, roughly year on year. Just going back to that Super Bowl example, a Super Bowl ad in 1967 cost about $37,000 for a 30-second ad. It now costs $8 million for 2025 30-second ad this year. So the number quoted earlier was correct. But generally what it does is that it looks at what your previous rates have been, the quality of the audience, because a person watching a rugby match doesn't earn as much as a person generally watching an Isibaya. The quality of the audience matters in terms of the LSM, the earning capability and so on. The profile of a person watching a certain show is not the same as a person watching a different show. So it looks at the profile. It also looks at the time at which that broadcast is aired. So a prime time show will always, and prime time is when audiences are watching content. So typically between your 5 p.m. and your 8 or 9 or 5 to 8 p.m. is your prime time slot. In the very same way as in radio, where you've got your drive time slot, etc., you've got similar things in sports broadcasting, where a peak number of people are watching at the same time. So you've got your biggest core of your audience available to watch that content at that time. So you will pay more to advertise during that time slot. If you're advertising in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll pay a lot less.
Yes.
So time matters. The audience matters, and previous rates are also put into account to kind of work out what that rate card looks like.
Got you. And you're right, there's so many layers to it. It's about the eyes and the various aspects that you alluded to. Mobile, for many of us who might be sitting at home, we might think, okay, well, I see the ad and the sponsor from the alcohol brand or the online betting company or the bank that's on this particular page, whatever it happens to be on whichever platform it is. But many of us sit back and think, hold on, who's actually making the money here? Is it just the broadcasting platform, or are there avenues as well for other participants to earn an income or future income? Because that's also
Well, there are the primary, in terms of sport, the primary earner is the right the sports team themselves. When they let's talk about the Soweto Derby, for example, the PSL currently gets paid somewhere in the region of 600 million rand annually by MultiChoice just to be the broadcaster of PSL games. There are 16 teams in the league. There's over 300 games played. To be the official broadcaster of the league, SuperSport pays the rand a year. So they're the primary earner. Beyond that, there's other players who would have Your broadcaster themselves would also be paid through all of the different ads that you would see. So pre-match, during the match, and post-match. You know, there would be the post-match interviews and so on, where there would be advertising slots as well. The broadcaster would then recoup all of that money from the various, because there are multiple advertisers that can advertise during a match. And then there's other players as well who sell airtime on advertising airtime on these slots, essentially sort of agents who would, because some companies may want to advertise on television, but they don't have the expertise to go and do media buying and so on. There are media buying companies in the background who work as intermediaries between your broadcasters and your advertisers. So they would sit in the middle and help companies who want to advertise to get blocked, because also you have to negotiate these things. The rates that the SABC and MultiChoice may charge you, yes, that's maybe what they put out as a rate card, but they're all is negotiable. And if you don't know how to play the game in terms of negotiating, you could. And so sometimes it's easier to use an intermediary. So there's an entire value chain of people working in the background to ensure that ads are placed at specific times, the rates that are paid are consistent, and everybody gets a piece of the pie.
Oh, 100%. I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it brings about so much more clarity, right, for those who aren't familiar with the industry that we're in. Even how we read live reads and we take adverts at a particular time of the show, and there's certain slots of the show that are sponsored, speaks to that model in particular when it comes to advertising. I'm also keen to get your thoughts on licensing and broadcasting rights, because this is also an aspect of business in the media that has continued to exist, but I'm assuming is also began to shift given the plethora of platforms that we've got right now.
Yeah, it's become a very, very tenuous and problematic issue. And I think we're going to see a lot of action with regards to the licensing of broadcast rights in as far as sport is concerned. In this country, we have generally got two primary broadcasters that broadcast, and we're talking about sports here, but essentially it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This can apply to anything, really. It can apply to your Ozalo and Abo Banmani that other people would watch on television. Ultimately, you have a rights holder is whoever creates that content or whoever holds that content. In the case of sport, the PSR or SA Rugby is the rights holder. In the case of television content, your producers or whoever has to kind of pay for players and so on and so on. And that 600 million rand that MultiChoice pays goes towards paying the salaries of players as the matches can be put on, etc., etc. Just because the SABC is free through air television doesn't mean that they get the rights for free. Mm-hmm. Those rights are expensive, and those rights are outpacing those rights. They're outpacing the revenue of the broadcasters. So I see you're going to have a situation where the broadcasters aren't going to be able to pay the fees, and they can either increase the cost for subscriptions, or they can just say we can't afford and let the rights go. So with the multitude of other broadcasters coming in, like your Netflix, and they're going to broadcast sports content. The Club World Cup that's coming up is going to be broadcast on DAZN. Nobody in South Africa has DAZN.
Yeah.
So you now sort of having to start thinking about where am I going to watch my content. And I keep on saying, I've been saying this for years to people, we will really miss the current super sport model, multi-choice model, when it's gone, because having a one-stop shop for sports content is ridiculous. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. But we're going towards a future where we'll be forced to have to shop around, because the rights become so difficult to host in one place. And we're going to have multiple ways of watching content in order to get the current multi-choice experience. So I know that's a bit of a long-winded answer to your question, but I think that's where we're going.
Got you. This is so intriguing, Mobile. So many parts to unpack, and of course, as you say, new innovative solutions that are being brought to the fore. And I think we saw that with Netflix last year with the Tyson match. I forget his contender.
Correct.
Yeah, there we go.
Correct. It was Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Yes,
definitely. So it definitely brings about an interesting dynamic to what we'll see within the broadcasting realm. But such a pleasure speaking to you. We'll have to leave it here for tonight, but looking forward to touching base with you in future about the shifts and developments that continue to take place within the very intriguing world of cash, sport, entertainment, and the business models behind it. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
That's Ngobile Ndlovu, Cash and Sport Research Director, helping us get behind the business of broadcasting, some of the key themes that we need to be mindful of. So next time you're watching a soccer match, a concert, or even international events like the Super Bowl, pay attention to the number of ads that might be involved, the minutes that the ads actually cumulatively add to, and understand that in many ways in the process, there's actually a revenue-making opportunity for the platform, for the clients themselves, and even for the individuals behind some of these brands and stations.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.